Yes, today's Wednesday. This is our weird and wonderful feature. Have you been pooed on by a bird? Is there a bird that frequents your yard, even comes into the house? Is there a bird you see a lot on the road? A dead bird being attacked by a bird. Tell us about a bird in your life. What does it do? It might have a meaning for you, says Mokhaile Mokhashwa, who's here with me in studio. He's an engineer, he's a historian, and he's the founder of Darkipedia. Joins us to talk about bird mythology. And I'm hoping that you'll be a part of that conversation. Birds and the things that they signify to you. What symbolism do you read into their presence, their songs? The proverbial wise owl, yeah? The ngogonope, the cock that crows. A lot of symbolism that is attached to it. We see it in many literature, in many tomes of literature. Bible, Greek mythology, African folklore. Birds play a major, major role in how we understand them and what the symbolism is. So I'm really looking forward to your experiences with birds in your life. What do they mean? The crow, yeah? The dove on Noah's Ark and the crow. What do they mean, yeah? Peter denying the Christ and the crow three times before the cock crows. You remember that? All of those. Anyway, Mokhaile Mokhashwa is here with me. Mokhaile, thank you so much for joining me, my brother. You well?
Always a pleasure, bro.
So good to have you here in the show, on the studio. What is bird mythology about? But wait, before, somebody's asking me, what is Darkipedia?
Ah, Darkipedia is a history and anthropology company. So we are a place you go to if you want to find out why we do things the way we do them today.
Right.
Why do we bury a person the way we do?
Yeah.
Why do we get married the way we do?
Yeah.
Why do we do the things that we do when we get a baby? And so forth. So we are a history company.
Right.
A new concept.
Yeah.
But that's what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. And much needed. Much needed.
I think so too.
I have conversations all the time to have us understand the theology behind African spirituality.
Uh-huh.
I have conversations around the meanings of certain rituals and customs.
Yeah.
Because I've come to understand that we know very little about ourselves. And so when we have a platform such as Darkipedia and people such as yourself who actually go into the research, people such as Dr. Zulumatabo Zulu, people such as Kogo Dungezweni Obrimajiko,
yes.
All of these are people that are really focused on Dr. Ndlanzi. All of these people are not only practitioners of African spirituality, but also academics, and they really give us the information that we need. So thank you very much for the work do at Darkipedia. Bird mythology, what is that all about?
The story of Bayes, Aubrey, and the listeners, good evening to the listeners, by the way, starts very early in life, as soon as life starts. In ancient Egyptian mythology, we learn of the ibis.
Yes.
Mythology, what it meant when the priest saw it, and so forth. And then you get to biblical times from the ancient Egypt. You mentioned the dove that returned with the olive branch. And then into actual life.
During Noah's deluge, right?
The ark.
Yes.
Because remember he sent a dove out to go find some dry piece of land.
Yes.
But what the dove did is brought back a little branch.
Yes.
Which would mean that, listen.
The water subsiding.
The water is subsiding.
Land is almost there.
It's becoming available. Yeah. But this was taken as a message from the creator.
Right.
As you would follow the etymology today of extending the olive branch.
Yes.
Because remember the whole point of the floods.
Yes.
God was angry and he was wiping us out.
Yes.
And then he thought, but Achshem, you know.
Yeah.
No, so the olive branch comes from that scripture.
Yes, of course. Yes.
So you were saying, no, guys, let's start afresh.
Yes.
You've seen your.
Let bygones be bygones.
We were starting
nice
afresh.
Otherwise, I'll show you a thing or two.
So that's where the olive branch comes from.
Yeah.
And then we come into real life that you and I would refer to today, and writers like Julius Caesar.
Yes.
I don't know what novel you read in your metric, but I read Macbeth.
Yes.
And in Macbeth, anyone that has read Macbeth would know that on the night before the king's death, on the eve of the king's death, the owl did come when the witches were dancing around the cauldron, staring their muti in there.
Hail the Thane of Cawdor.
Thane of Cawdor. You did read that.
Yes.
Yes. But it is but it is the sound of the owl that captures their attention to say, oh, it means Macbeth has bought into our plan, meaning that he's going to kill the king.
Yes.
But what's important is that the sound of the owl meant that the king was dying. So that is as early as it came. And in today's life, we interact with birds, daily. And from those teachings and learnings, we then now know that they are very special beings. They're not just animals. They're not just, aves. They are species that are with capabilities of shuttling between two realms. So let me not say two, because there's more than two.
Yeah.
Our earth is a realm, and then there's that one of the dead, and there's that one of the creator and his counsels, and then there could be others that I don't know about. So birds are species that have got abilities transport messages between realms, and we can only interpret that from the earth realm because we are here.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about the human experience with birds and the messages that they are bringing to humans.
So most definitely, the presence of birds, aves as you call them, in our mythology, in our, and not just us as Africans, but throughout the world, birds play a major role in.
No, it's not a black thing. It's a universal thing.
They play a major role in explaining stuff.
Yes.
The newborn baby, we're told, comes with the stork. Bird, right?
Yeah.
We're told all sorts of things. We're told that angels have wings.
It's a whole database.
So I'm interested to find out from you on 011-883-0702, what bird stories do you have?
Yes.
Is there a connection to a life event in your life that you can connect to a bird? 011-883-0702, yeah?
And I think in parallel to that, perhaps people could tell us why they think the depiction of an angel is a human that comes with wings.
Yep.
The significance thereof.
Yeah.
Because it's got to have a lot of significance that they chose wings.
Yeah.
They could have put horns. Why did they go for the wings?
Well, there are, I'm told, angels that look like a bull. What is a collection of stars?
Galaxy.
Yeah, no, stars. Anyway, but in that group of depictions,
there's the man, there's the bull, there's the eagle, there's the constellation.
That's what I was looking for. So I'm interested to hear, though, in this particular conversation, what does the bird mean? What is the symbolism of the bird? Could it be that perhaps part of the allure to the bird analogy is the fact that the bird isn't imprisoned by gravity like the rest of us? Yeah, that the bird is able to break away from the rules of gravity and soar into the skies, and for that reason it conjures up all sorts of ideas in our minds, as you said, that it's able to traverse the various realms that are there, because it's literally doing that.
It's
traversing the realm of that gravity bound reality versus the freedom of the skies. Yeah. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. Is there a moment in your life that you connect with the appearance of a bird?
Mm.
What symbolism do you attach to it? I'd be interested to hear from you on 011-883-0702. My guest is historian and engineer. He's also founder of Darkipedia. We're talking about bird mythology. You were going to say something?
So I wanted to say this in terms of the realm that's not of the dead, right?
Yeah.
Because remember, we are humans that descend from our ancestors. And there is, in fact, another realm that we relate to directly, but it's not that of the ancestors. And
right.
There's also very important messages that come from that realm that uses also birds. And I want to use an example here of a bird we call Letsitsirobi Kaspedi.
Letsitsirobi. All right.
But it's a the ground scraper. Thrush.
Right.
Yes. It's a bird that, for example, if you going through stuff in life, right, and it shows up on your path, so it's a sighting, so to speak. It is just a message that says things are about to turn. If you know. So,
if you are going through a hard time, yeah,
tough times,
yeah,
little zero on your path simply just means
things are about to change.
It's about to turn. So is walking.
Does that mean about to turn for the positive?
For the positive, yes, because you are this side, remember?
Right.
So it's about to turn for the positive. So
what is little zero? Which bird is that?
If you look up when you see it, it's like you just spotted a cheetah. It's spotted. It's just underneath the size of that of the Hadida. So it walks on ground, very little thin.
Oh, so it's not a flying bird.
Does fly if it must, but it spends a lot of chicken, time on the ground.
Okay.
And if you look up at the ground scraper thrush, you'll see it. It's yes. It's equally guessing guni, you know. So
equally,
yes.
Okay.
Equally. So the universe talks to us sometimes, and it just sends a message when you least expect it. But you must be conversant with the language that it uses. So bird life around us as humans is actually a language that I think is important we learn as humans, because it's messages for us. And you know, if we're not conversant with the language, the messages will go right past us.
Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. Have you encountered equally? Yeah. And is there something to be really taken serious about the presence of birds in our lives? Do they mean certain things? You just heard Mohaile talk about equally. What do they call it in English?
Ground scraper.
Ground scraper, right? Yeah.
Ground scraper thrush.
And what it means, particularly in indigenous sort of symbolism. Mm. Apparently it means that if you've been having a hard time in your life, that it signifies a transformation, a change is about to happen for the better.
Yeah.
Can it mean for the worse?
It can't, because you are in your worst
already
state.
Already in your worst. Okay, I see.
Yes. So
you can't go deeper.
You're drop bottom. You can only go out from there.
All right.
But so that's just to say, if you spot a bird like that in your tough times, it's a message that says, "This is a cheek, isn't it?"
let me just read you a message coming through, and then we're going to take some calls. Please give us a call. What experiences do you have with birds?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from that from you. Franz Ngake says, Aubrey, I'm always fascinated by all flying objects, birds, ants, etc., but especially planes. It happened that my family and I found ourselves flying to and from Durban without paying a dime. There's something about flying objects. Okay. Ezra says owl is number 9, Gom Chining. Pigeon is number 16, Gom Chining. Yeah, the Mchina is a game that we play in the townships that was introduced to us by Chinese immigrants.
Yes.
It's numbers that are connected to a particular bird. Mm-hmm. And Ezra is explaining to us that the owl is number 9, mm-hmm. Gom Chining. Fafi!
Fafi. Well, they raised us.
Absolutely. And yeah. Then Paul says, hi, Aubrey. I don't have a garage. I park my car outside. These birds always stand on my car windows and mirrors, and they'll knock as intense biting on the window mirrors.
Ah.
They start very early in the morning until sunset. Robs, I don't understand as to what does this mean. Can your guest explain these phenomena?
So the one that knocks on the windows of a car and a house,
yeah,
is the same type of a message.
Yeah.
It does it on your house when you're like sitting on your lounge, and then you come onto the window.
Yeah.
And just start beeping on the window.
Yeah.
And sometimes your car is outside.
Yeah.
It will do that. It always does it on the window.
Yeah.
So this says there's a matter, an issue in your life that needs your urgent attention, that you must pay attention to. Meaning, because we are not, as humans, not everyone has got that clairvoyance of sussing out what this could be. In the Bantu context, this could mean you need to find out, maybe Bonamu Profita, or
yeah, go and check out.
Yes,
go and check. Something is happening in your life. You need to go and consult.
When a bird comes and knock on your window,
yes,
house window and car window.
Yeah,
it is about a very urgent matter that you need to attend to.
Ish. Thanks very much to Jeffrey March. He's just sent me a picture of the ground scraper thrush. Beautiful bird.
A very beautiful,
beautiful bird. Mm-hmm. Indeed, lots of calls coming through.
But I just wanted to say something before we go to the calls. Linked to the one that comes to knock on your window.
Yep.
There will be also one that comes to your yard, to walk on your yard. And it also comes when you, it always comes when you're sitting there so that you can see it, right? It walks on the grass or just the little pavements you have in your house. But this bird is limping. And it will make sure you categorically notice that it's limping.
Yes.
Yes. It is related to, this particular one also means a spanner in your works. The limping thereof. And you don't do this once.
Yeah.
It will repeat this several times, and it will make it a point that you notice that it is limping. That is a spanner in your works.
Well, what does that mean, spanner?
You have got something that you need to attend to, like the knocking bed. Say you're a business person.
Yeah.
There could be this ancestral issue standing in obstructing your flow of business or your flow of things. Could be some koku o-ring, maybe umukolota puri, or some story like that.
Okay.
Yes. A spanner in the works. Generally, it could be many things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Audacity to be says, Aubrey and your guest, in Afrikaans, it's called die gevlegde leester. Yeah, this is rope. Thank you very much to Audacity to be. And then, of course, more. Dos Santos says, Aubrey, lovely show as always. Please ask your guest about this big bad called Black Panthera or Iskova. What happens when one sees it? The meaning, please. Yeah, the owl.
It's called Liribish.
Liribish, yeah, the owl.
The owl.
A lot of people are afraid of the owl. And I know that in European sort of culture, it's connected to wisdom. That the owl is always somehow connected to wisdom. What is our African understanding of the presence
of the owl? One, in the instance where you, in your home state, in the evening times, obviously, when it's quiet, maybe you're even sleeping at the time, and it sounds in your vicinity, it always just means someone you know is pecking.
Is about to pass.
Yeah, they're going.
Really? Hey?
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's one. Two, the issue of the owl comes now into witchcraft. I mean, you know, we have to coexist. The witches have learned the capabilities of an owl, and they use it in some of their activities. Sometimes as a what do you call the person that you send to go and listen to people's
as a
spy.
Okay.
Yes, an owl is a very good spy. Okay. Because apparently it can record people and can go tell.
Really?
Yes.
Shame, I like owls. I really like owls.
So it's a beautiful owl. Apparently a very good spy.
Okay.
And then in other witchcraft business, it will be used as a collector. So for example...
Except why are we always running witchcraft too much?
No. Everyone has it. We just use it against ourselves.
Yeah.
In Europe, they use it to advance themselves.
Yeah.
Yes, but Julius Caesar and them always wrote about it.
Of course, we hear about it.
Yes, we just happen to use it against ourselves.
All right, let's go to Tim in Hammanskraal. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Yeah, go for it, Tim. Your experience with birds. Yeah.
First of all, about the angels. They were originally normally shown as birds with just a very beautiful look about them and a glow. But in the medieval times, after Milton Paradise.
Tim, let me ask you to move around a little bit, because we're losing all of that juicy stuff you're telling us, man. All right, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna send you back to Ntate, and she's gonna try and put you on a different line. Please don't go away, Tim. We're gonna speak to other people, but please, she's gonna put you on a different line, okay? Ntate, please take Tim, and let's see if we can get him on a better line. Doctor is in Deep Sloot. Hi, Doctor.
Hello, Prophi.
Yeah, go for it, Doctor. Your bird experience?
Yes, correct. I started to study birds. I was living with my friend here in Deep Sloot. Unfortunately, he passed away. So this guy, he said to me, you know, the birds, when they build their nest in your house, you should be careful. You should be aware that these things might be bringing messages. So from then, I started to study the birds when they come outside every morning. When I go outside, there will be birds there. So I started to feed them.
Yes.
And then later on, I was at my workplace. I'm selling on the street. So there was this tension between me and the people who are selling around.
Yes.
So since while I was studying these birds, and then in the middle of the fight, we didn't have a verbal fight. It was just this tension.
Yeah.
So the birds, they came and... It was four of them. Then these birds, when they came, and they had a fight.
Yes.
So there was this one bird that decided to move away from the fight. And then these three started to fight each other. Mm-hmm. So I was studying myself and thinking that, you know, I have these people fighting me. And then I was in them, and then I decided to move away from them. So that's what happened after I studied that. 3 days later, I saw that I started to move away from these people, and then they started to fight each other, these people. So that's when I realized that these birds have a message.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Doctor in Deep Sloot, thanks, my brother. Appreciate it.
But what I appreciate with doctors, the observation,
the
degree of observation, that's very...
Rare,
very rare.
Let's talk to Kate in Cosmo City. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Pra Obi. How are you?
I'm well, sis. What is your experience with the birds?
Yeah, after I've heard this owl story, now I'm even more scared, because for the past 3 months, December, January, February, there's an owl that's just by my window. When I'm doing laundry, it's just there. It makes sure that I see it, and I started getting scared. And then my boyfriend noticed it, and ever since, it makes sounds like in the evenings, and we've been fighting so much ever since the owl came. And in December, I had a big fight with my brother. Like, we've never fought like that. And I was like, what is this? I don't know. And now this witchcraft story, I'm like, I'm so scared.
I want to hear what Mukhaile has to say, because I'm a little partial to owls. I love owls. I think they're beautiful birds. So I want to hear what he's got to say about this. Yeah.
Yeah. The owl that you had is not the one to sound an alarm of a death, because that one just happens once, and then the next morning the death is announced. This one, was in the outside the witchcraft business, because it is very unusual for an owl to frequent a person's house. It's birds do it, but not an owl, because an owl again is a night animal. What do you call them again?
An nocturnal animal.
Yes. So it's a very strange one. And then with the fights and the things that you've had afterwards, just confirms that it was a messenger from.
Is it possible that the owl came to say, "Guys, stop fighting"?
Yeah,
it happened afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. You see, Kate, I'm going to tell you my story, my sister. And that's maybe because I just think owls are just beautiful birds. I think they're just beautiful birds. Mm. But I'm hoping that we don't see owls and we start shooting them with our kettis, because we think that they are bringers of bad tidings. I worry about that sort of thing, that people will see this animal and be shooting
it's bad with a ketti.
Mm. But I suppose the reason why we've got people that are knowledgeable like Mohaile here is to give us what the various possible understandings are in terms of mythology.
Yeah, and specifically with an owl.
Yeah.
There are no beautiful stories around owls.
Oh, one.
I've studied this bird thing for some time. I'm yet to come across one beautiful story of an owl. One.
Is it not a matter of that we are projecting our stuff onto these poor animals? hey, Kate, I mean, could it be that the poor animal was just sitting there, it likes your house, there are a few rodents that it towels there,
not
whatever
in the
case
may
be. Yeah, maybe not in the day.
No, it's a nocturnal animal.
I tell you what, the owl is gone and I'm okay now, no more fights. For 3 months, every day in the evenings it came to my house.
But here's my question, Kate. Was there anything you did, maybe in the form of intervention that you tried, or it just disappeared on its own?
It just came on its own. And what made it worse is that my boyfriend ran into a spiritual person, and the spiritual person was saying, "Whoever, things are not okay in your life right now. Whoever you are dating is bewitching you."
Oh, no.
And he asked me that question, "Are you bewitching me?" And I'm like, "Are you being serious?" And because of that incident plus the owl, and then things just went bad. I can't believe you accusing me of witchcraft because of the owl.
Kate in Cosmos City, I don't know how to answer your question, but you heard what Mukhaile has to say. Much appreciated.
I've looked into this bad thing for some time. I'm looking for my first beautiful story of an owl.
I'll give you a beautiful story.
Okay, let's go.
I'll give you a beautiful story of an owl. I've seen owls many, many times. I see they're very scarce now, right? They're very scarce. I don't see them as often. I've never, and I know that people are afraid of them because they've got these big eyes and they look mysterious and everything. But they always remind me of something that is sort of lonely, man.
The only ever time I've had an owl do a useful thing was when the city of Joburg brought them out in Alexander to come and eat the rats.
And then the people started killing them because people were afraid of them.
Yes, so, but they were, you know, they were being brought in as a utility pet. And,
you see what I'm trying to say? That whole exercise failed
because
we didn't give the owls the chance to eat the rodents because we were afraid of them, and we started killing the owls.
If you want to look at it that way, that's bad.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm happy to learn. I'm happy to learn. Legeng is in Brakpan. Hey, Legeng.
Hey, how's it, Oprah?
Yeah, my owls are getting a raw deal here.
I hear you, and you're fighting very much, very well for them. You know, trying very hard. But, you know, I actually understand what you're going through. Cause I've also had the exact same experience of, you know, trying to explain away the myths around owls, you know, and the bad press that the owls get. And funny enough, birds, you know, when it comes to birds, there was this Hermes in the Greek mythology and in the Roman mythology, you know, Hermes Trismegistus. That's the bird who was the messenger of the gods, you know.
Yes.
Who actually invented writing.
Yes, that could be the ibis.
Thought, yeah. Mm. That's thought in the Egyptian mythology.
It's ibis.
So when you're saying that, yeah.
The ibis is a hadida for those that don't know it.
Oh, the hadida.
Yeah, it's a hadida.
Yeah, I've got a few of those in my place.
Yeah, no, it means your royalty.
I'm blessed.
The Egyptian goose. So it's really true, like you said, to say that, you know, that the birds are actually the messengers of the gods, because actually the person who taught humanity how to write,
yes,
was actually a bird.
That was Tehuti. But
Tehuti.
Yeah,
exactly. That is actually that hieroglyph in the Egyptian hieroglyph of a bird.
So obviously birds play a very, very big role in the way that we as humans interpret life. I mean, if they taught us how to write, bro.
Yeah.
Communication and music as well, Oprah. If you think about music, birds are actually musicians. If you look at the music, they taught us music.
And that's why we say birds sing, right?
They do.
If you look at the keyboard, that is actually directly the sound of birds. You can play the sound of birds on the keyboard.
Yeah.
And it's actually the birds that taught us to do that, you know, otherwise. And this happened to those guys back in Atlantis. That is in the times before even Plato. Plato was talking about Atlantis as an ancient civilization, and that's where the pianos and such things were invented. Lyras. And those are the birds. Avian, you know, that. And now, my last thing that I want to tell you is that birds are so scientifically advanced. Like, if you look at telecommunications, if you actually look at the universe, the cosmology, they talk about Zeta Reticulus. There's that star system called Zeta Reticulus, which is in the shape of V.
Yes.
Now, there was a movie about this called V.
Yes. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bird. That V, that's the wings.
The wings.
That is the avian civilization, aviation.
Aviation. Aves. Yeah, aviation, flying. Play airplanes.
Flying. Those are the messengers.
Music.
Those are all messengers and writing.
Lekeng, what do you do?
Yeah, Lekeng is an old prophet of this show.
Okay, thank you.
He never told me. I thought maybe he might tell you.
Wow, I'm impressed with Lekeng.
Lekeng, thanks very much for your call. Much appreciated. No. There's no doubt that birds play a significant role in our lives.
Yeah.
Symbolic roles.
Yeah.
They conjure up all sorts of feelings and ideas. They are mysterious because they're not bound to the ground like we are in other animals. Yeah. They can fly. They can do all sorts of different things. Yeah.
So I've got this beautiful example. If you don't have any calls.
No, I've got lots of calls.
Oh.
Let's talk to Tim. Let's quickly talk to Tim.
Oh, Tim is back.
Tim is back. Okay. Tim, hi.
Hi, Aubrey.
Yeah.
By the way, eat up to 8 rats every night. So they're very useful.
Yeah. Absolutely. I like owls. Apparently they're not cool, yeah?
I love them, and I've got good stories. I can maybe send references later. But you know what's happened to me? I sit at night outside alone, and I like to watch the lights on the distant highway. And on the 11th of this month, I sat alone and sit next to a tree, a dead tree, where my cat, my favorite cat, is buried. And at night, I felt freezing cold, but it was supposed to be. And a raven came and sat on the tree. and was looking at me, and then he sat on another branch he moved, and he sat for a while, half an hour, but I was freezing, freezing cold. And I know Raven, he used to visit. I haven't seen him for a while. And then I came in, and I said to my friend, oh, winter must be coming. I'm so cold out there. And he said, but it's still hot. Mm. And then I remembered it's the anniversary of my cat's death. And I still wonder what happened. It was so eerie. I was freezing. One of the things, ghosts or things like that, scientists have actually taken instruments, and there's always a definite drop in temperature.
Mm.
And I wonder what happened that night.
A drop in temperature, Hayden?
With ghosts. Scientists get called to, with electro devices, they always, with psychic phenomena, a drop in temperature.
We're losing you, not the best of times.
Yeah.
But thanks very much there, Tim. Drop in temperature.
There's beds that, there's actually two. One we call Sahlamedupi Kaspedi. So Sahlamedupi just means brings rain.
Right.
Like Medupi are showers.
Right.
And when it comes around, you don't even have to see it, but you will hear it. I'm this old and I've never seen one, but I've had it a couple of times. But when you hear it,
Sahlamedupi, okay,
brings showers.
Right.
So that's the first. The second would be Impunduru, Uthekwane.
Yes.
Mashianuk. It also changes ambience wherever it goes. And the legend of Impunduru is big, so I want to... I want to put it at the end.
Okay. You got lots of goals, bro.
It will turn the show on his head.
Really?
Yes. So yes, there's bits with call it power or character.
Yeah.
That changes the ambience wherever it goes.
Right.
Yeah. Instantly.
One of the most charismatic birds, of course, is the eagle, right?
Yeah, I know.
The majestic eagle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then there's also the dove that plays a big role in spirituality.
Yeah.
Always considered as a symbol for the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
in certain,
yeah,
spaces. Then there's the sparrow.
The sparrow, yeah. The porohos.
Porohos.
Yeah.
always around.
Yes.
It almost, for me, the sparrow always feels like it gives a sense of normalcy.
Yeah? Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
The parohosho would be presence of those that walked before you.
Ah.
Yes. If you remember a conversation we had a while back about homes, how one sets up a home.
Yes.
In Bantu mythology, when you set up home, the first residents of your home are the dead, right? Your ancestors.
Okay.
Because Kenya wanna pili when we set up, and then Rena, we come after.
Yeah.
They signify their presence.
With the sparrows.
Yes, the, okay, sparrows, some pigeons. So it's a group of them, but they would be the weavers, the sparrows, and the pigeons. That group.
And those are seen in a positive light.
No, those are good.
Okay.
Those are good friends.
It's not like the owls.
Nah.
All right, let's talk to Sizwe in Bimville. Hi, Sizwe.
Hey, bro, bro.
Yeah, how you doing, bro, Sizwe?
Fine.
Good. What are your thoughts?
No, you've touched base on the doves.
Oh, okay.
And I have this experience with doves that sit on this Wi-Fi line every morning.
Mm-hmm.
At about 7 until 10. There would be 3, then the next day there would be 2, then the next day there would be 1, and they would sit for a while, and after 10 o'clock, 10, 11, they are gone. Mm. The next day they come back. They would be there for some time. I don't know what that meant.
Those are your people. So, birds also play a role in embodying the dead that wants to visit. So there's people that
Sizwe, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, so still there, yeah.
So there's people that they have like constant protection around them, and their clans do that using actual presence of baits. Mm-hmm. The baits are the baits in their eyes, but they actually call them angels, if you like. Mm-hmm. So it could be your grandmothers and fathers just hanging out, just, you know.
Come in and check you out.
Yeah, there's people that have that constantly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the eagle.
Yeah.
What is the significance of the eagle?
There's Hwadira. What's Hwadira's English name? It's also an eagle. Mm. Hwadira is priesthood. If it frequents your path, you are more than a person. You are of priesthood in caliber, because in ancient Egyptian mythology, the god that was referred to as is actually the European version of Jesus, the African version of Jesus. He's also depicted as that he was a priest. I'll remember his name now shortly. So the eagles are priesthood, just, and in terms of and visualizing that, how they soar up into the sky above all of us and see everything behind and ahead. And they symbolize that type of the hierarchy type of symbol. They in the literature that I've come across, they symbolize priesthood, kingship, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So that's what I know them for.
Right. Well, 1-883-0702, would love to take your calls around birds and the mythology that you are familiar with birds. What do certain birds mean in the way that you understand their symbolism?
Yeah.
What mythology around certain birds have you grown up in? My poor owls have not gotten a very good. haven't gotten some. They have not gotten good PR tonight. Can you tell you that right now?
Here's an example I want to take the listeners through. If you give me two 3 minutes. There's a dead bird on your path.
Yeah.
But it must be a walking path, footpath.
Okay.
So you can't be like driving and spot a dead bird, then say, you know, I saw a dead bird. No, you must be on your foot.
Right.
Like in the same requirement applies to the Letsitsi rope.
Right.
You should be walking that path.
Right.
So a dead bird.
It doesn't matter what.
It doesn't have to be any species.
Okay.
It must just be an ave with wings and a beak and some talons.
Right.
Symbolizes an end of an era.
Right.
In your life.
Right.
Right. And this era could be several things. It could be an end of a career.
Mm.
Could be an end of a marriage. Could be an end of a business partnership, a business venture, several things.
The end of something.
It's an end of something. And the other time I had this conversation, one of the listeners asked me, but what would that then mean? Because I can't tell what in that instance. And I said, you know what I think? If this dead bird shows up on your path this week, and next week, maybe perhaps the company you work for says, you know what, we've been thinking, we are reshuffling. That is what the dead bird meant. So you shouldn't be fighting people over that. It's just an actual end that is not caused by you having done wrong or
somebody else
or someone hating you. Or it is just an actual.
Someone bewitching you.
Yes, do you understand that? So the message in that is, when you come across a dead bird on your path, pay attention to the events in your timeline in the following days or weeks.
Right.
Anything that suggests come to an end, it's actually over.
So you're saying to me that that sometimes things just happen.
They just end.
It's not because somebody's bewitching you.
Yeah, no.
It's not because you are a bad
person. It's not like you did something to this girl.
It's not because that person is a... It's just stuff ends sometimes.
Stuff ends. And the universe tells us.
Because that's an important notion.
Yes.
Let me just park there a little. I just want to talk about this a little bit. Because sometimes we get into this conspiratorial sort of way of thinking. Wait, it's somebody else's fault.
Somebody else, yes.
Yeah, that one looked at me funny.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes, precisely.
And you're saying to me, Eberfoot, it happens sometimes that things just end.
Yes, and
it's
the
time for
the
thing to end.
Let's
move on.
It's over.
No, I think that is absolutely important for us to understand that sometimes things just end. All right, Audacity BCI Aubrey and your guest. Interesting conversation. I love birds, he says. They visit my yard all the time in different colors. Should I feed them? I've been thinking about a birdhouse for some time. Mm. Maybe I should just do it. Can
feed
we
them,
do that?
Please, yeah? Feed birds.
Yeah?
Yeah, I recommend feeding birds.
Right?
Yeah. It's
even owls?
Well, I don't know. They're good hunters, so I don't think they need to be fed.
Okay, so you recommend that we
please,
feed birds?
When you go to the shops, include bird feed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, someone like me, I brew beer regularly.
Yeah.
So, Morocco.
Yes.
That,
the
Mtombo Osa.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
the
very
leftovers.
Good, very good bird feed.
Yeah,
and
for chickens, absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, if you can't buy, just buy like Unali beer, and then the birds are eating.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you make African beer, sorghum beer, right?
Yeah, no.
So that's the stuff that's left over, the dregs.
Yeah.
And you then can give it to the birds.
Feed to the bird.
Okay.
Feed bird.
You're not going to have drunk birds. Drunk birds like, wah,
they
wah,
love,
wah.
They love the stuff.
So. Yeah, I can understand why.
So when you're doing your groceries in the house, it's a good thing to feed the birds.
Yes.
Yeah, because
and for them
then,
to be around.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, we just said now that some of them could be your ancestors, so you're doing a good thing.
See, let me divulge just a little something with me. Mm. I've moved from Kasi to Mo.
Got the burps now.
Yeah. I speak English. So I've got lots of birds in my house.
Yeah.
Lots of birds.
Yeah.
And I see owls too, and I see hadidas, and I see little beautiful bluebirds. And so I've got lots of birds. It's beautiful too. I sit there and I watch them and I love them. And I feed them. My kids love to feed the birds and so forth.
Yeah.
And they just give me a sense of calm.
In a twist of it, a guy said to me, the reason why white people have got more money than us is because they feed the birds.
Really? Huh? No, because I think from, I suppose,
think about it.
As you say, that instead of chasing them away,
they feed them. They bring
instead
them
of
over.
Instead of eating them,
they look after them.
And they go bird watching.
They go bird watching.
That could be a very powerful thing to do.
Yeah. No, feed birds. I recommend feeding birds.
And having them in your home.
Have them around.
Yes.
If you have got birds building on your roof, don't kick them out.
Yes.
If you must, I've seen, I mean, I live in the burbs myself, so I see
right,
Mangamla, Baraka, these bird houses.
Yes.
On the top of their tree, there'll be like one or two.
Yeah, I've got one.
So they actually make it a home for them. They want them to be at home. So let us do it.
See,
I don't have houses yet, but I feed them.
Kukasi. Yeah. My house, kumams. Birds didn't like them. No, I'm being honest. I'm being absolutely honest. They were scared.
Yeah, no, because we're going to eat them any moment.
You know what I mean? So you're saying that actually we should savor their presence.
We should be inviting them over.
Okay.
Yeah. If you've got that extra 500 rands,
yes.
Get a bed house, put it at the top of your tree. Put one in, I don't know, have one, have two.
Have three.
Feed them all the time.
I've got them nesting in my trees.
Yeah, no.
I've got them all over the place nesting.
Welcome
beautiful
them.
Stuff.
Take
yeah.
pictures of them. Don't mess with them.
I don't eat the things.
I'll still like one. I mean, I grew up eating them. I grew up eating them, so I know the meat. It's very, very,
very
delicious.
Nice.
Yeah, it's delicacy.
But some of them are very small, man.
You like get 15 to 20 at a go.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. When you are out heading cattle, we bring lots of them with.
As we close.
Oh, okay, and
as we close.
Yeah.
I watch it in the rural areas, Kwa Haikwa.
Mm.
When the cattle are moving around, there's always a white bird that is
a home.
Beautiful little white bird.
Yeah.
What is that all about? And that relationship.
This alukhomo, it's the stuff that we call the khofa, man. I don't have an English name for the khofa. The little parasites that mount onto the...
Yes, lice.
Yeah, those things feed on those. And then another the spin-off for them is when the cattle grazes, the locust comes out of the grass sprinting.
Right.
And if they're there, they're handy to catch.
Oh, then you can eat them.
Yeah, so the relationship is the when the cattle grazes, there's locusts jumping out of and insects
right.
of the grass, and they grab the insects and stuff. So,
we've run out of. I've thoroughly enjoyed today's conversation. It was great. Bad press for my owls, but hey, great conversation all the way. How do people get in touch with you?
We are Dakipedia on X and Facebook.